Good morning. It is good to welcome you to Shalimar today. And we are in a child-friendly series, but we're also hoping that we will remember what it's like to be childlike, because Jesus says these powerful words that unless we come as children, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. Coming as children, innocent, putting our trust in the Lord, not taking ourselves too seriously, putting our emphasis on the Lord. And a second teaching, Jesus teaches, or rather Paul teaches, about not to worry and about this peace that passes understanding. And that's what we're going to focus on today. With that in mind, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for these teachings of the Scripture that give us something to not only think about, but to penetrate the depths of our soul and give us life, give us new life, give us abundant life, life better than we thought was even possible. And so with these passages today, help us to come as children, help us not to worry, and to instead have this peace that passes understanding. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My father was a great influence on me growing up. One of the gifts he had was that when there was trouble, when there was difficulty, he could tell you it was going to be all right. And it was such a reassuring voice in my childhood years. I can remember thinking if I was troubled about something and he said it was going to be all right, I would just go and I would play and I wouldn't have a worry in the world because my father had said it was going to be all right. As time went on, I grew older and I had to experience these struggles and troubles, anxiety on my own. And I still long to hear that voice. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I think all of us want to hear that voice. It may be that we had a father like I did, or a mother, or a brother, or a sister, or a friend that has reassured us through the years. But we all need to know it's going to be all right. It's hard to have peace if we do not believe it's going to be all right. You know, many of us come here today restless because we're not at peace. We're not at peace with something that's going on in the world. There's always something that we could worry about. That's never going to stop. There's always going to be something worldwide to worry about. Some of us have family issues that we worry about. And there's always going to be something we can worry about if we choose to worry. And certainly when we look at ourselves, there's something that we could always worry about. So what is the answer to us if we want to move toward this peace that passes understanding that Paul teaches about? Well, this particular message is going to be pulled right out of this Philippians teachings. You can design sermons a lot of different ways. One way to design a sermon is just to pull the actual teachings that are in the text itself. And that's what I'm doing today. And I believe that the Apostle Paul gives us a prescription for this peace that passes understanding. So let's take a look at these teachings and let's pull them right out of the Scripture here. The first teaching that Paul teaches here, and he has in mind this peace that passes understanding, is to not worry. He says, do not worry. That's a teaching that Paul has here. And worry seems to be something that we don't even think anything of it. It's taught in the Scriptures often. Jesus taught about not worrying. He said, can you add an hour to your life through worry? Does it make any contribution to your life to worry about something? And Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. The lilies neither toil nor spin. The birds of the air do not store away in barns, because they know that their heavenly Father will take care of them. And likewise, we can have that kind of trust in our heavenly Father to take care of us. But yet worry, I can say it, we can say it to one another, but it seems like it's one of those teachings of the Bible. We just hear it and then we move on with our life and we worry anyway. So what can we do about that? That seems to be an issue. The teaching of worry is very similar to the teaching in the Bible about honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. It seems like of the Ten Commandments, that is the one commandment that even we in the church, we can violate and we think nothing of it, is to not stopping, not resting, not worshiping God one day out of the seven. But yet, could it be that those two are connected? That our propensity to worry and lack of Sabbath keeping are directly related? Because we never stop. Therefore, we never stop from worry. It's as if we stop, we have to think about all that we're worried about, so we don't stop. And we just make it more complex as we go. So this teaching about worry is significant. Isn't it interesting that Paul's giving us a path to the peace that passes understanding, and he begins by teaching about worry? I think there is a correlation. Worry is real, isn't it? You know, probably even while I'm preaching, you're thinking about your worries. You're thinking about something immediately in front of you that you're worried about, or you're thinking about the future. Something is churning inside of you even as I'm preaching. So what can we do about it? Well, we may have to pick and choose our friends a little differently. Because we all need to be compassionate to everybody. That's not the issue. But if we have friends, I have a friend, for instance, that can sit down next to me and he say, "Now, Philip, don't you worry about this." And they have the gift of making me worry. And I was just fine. I didn't have a care in the world until they sat down next to me and said, "Don't you worry about this." Some of us have the gift of helping other people worry. So, you know, we can give some people three worries and they can give us three more to add to our list. I'm just saying, find those Christians, those saints that can help you not to worry so much, not to give you additional worries. And we can help those that worry all the time, but we have to take care of our own spirit first, because if we're all anxious, it's going to be hard to offer this peace that passes understanding to others. So do not worry is the teaching. That's the first directive Paul gives to this peace that passes understanding. The second teaching that he gives is pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, I believe these two are directly joined together. In all likelihood, we worry about the things we're not praying about. Isn't it amazing? Now, there are friends that can help us with our worries. Isn't it amazing that we can go days, weeks, even months worried about something, and we go share that worry with a friend, and they might say something like, "Have you prayed about it?" And immediately we think, you know, all this time I've been churning with this worry, and I don't think I've lifted it before the Lord. Well, what if we allowed our worry list to become our prayer list? That there is a correlation between the things we're worried about and the things we need to be praying about. So we just merge the two, and we pray about everything. You know, we have a lot potentially to worry about in the world, in our country, and even in the church, in our families, in our workplaces, and with ourselves. But it's also an opportunity to pray about everything. to pray about everything that comes to mind that's either a worry or a concern, and let that guide our prayer for that day. Pray about everything. I would invite us to pray about everything, keep a list of what we're praying for, and to even fast and to be deeper in prayer at times. If that worry is not letting up, to go deeper and to fast and to spend that time even more with the Lord with all that we're worried about. A third teaching that Paul gives us on this prescription to the peace that passes understanding is tell the Lord what you need. Now that's very direct, isn't it? Just tell the Lord what you need. So is there something in our life that we just want to ask the Lord specifically that we need? Now we know there's a difference between wants and needs, but with the things we need, have we asked the Lord specifically for what we need? Something happens when we do that. If we're asking for something that's out of line with God's will, and it turns out to be more of a want than a need, that will be revealed over time. In fact, it will likely only take a few days to start seeing that that prayer is not the prayer I need to be praying. God opens our awareness, and we see the world through different eyes as we pray about what we're needing, what we think we need. So nothing bad can happen by praying the wrong thing. God will guide us to praying for the right things. I see that with the list that I make. And a few days later, I look and I think, why was I praying about this? Because this is more important. God helps us see what we need to pray for. One friend told me on one occasion, if we pray in specifics, God will answer in specifics. And if we pray in generalities, God will answer in generalities. So which do we choose? To be specific in what we ask of the Lord? Or do we pray in generalities? My youngest daughter, Haley, she is 25. And she has felt the call in her life to go and help start a new church, a church plant in Cincinnati. She left on Friday. And she is taking that big step of faith. She is a praise and worship leader, and she's very good at that. And she'll be offering her gifts to the Lord in this new church plant in Cincinnati in the coming days. She's living up to her name. She is named Haley Faith. Haley Faith. And she's living into that name. A big plunge of faith. New church starts require a lot of faith. But I remember Haley when she was a small child. And I asked her one night if she had said her prayers. And she said she hadn't. So I stood there as she said her prayers that day. She was tired and she was ready to go to bed. She didn't want to pray, and she prayed, Lord, bless all the people I know and all the people I don't know. Amen. Now that's a general prayer, isn't it? And if we're praying like that, I'm not sure that our prayers are going to make a lot of difference in our spiritual life. And Haley's come a long way since that prayer. But if we can get specific and say, Lord, I have been worried about this for 3 months. Help me to see what I need to see so that I won't worry about it anymore. If there's something I'm supposed to do, help me to do it. If I'm supposed to just give it to you and trust, help me to do it. Pray specifically. And then the fourth direction Paul gives in this teaching is give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for all he's already done. You know, in David's writing and in the Psalms, we have this teaching of giving thanks. It's one of the fundamentals of prayer that we always start with our thanksgiving. What do we have today to give thanks to God for? And we always have a list. I would invite us this week to spend some quiet time and to list 10 things or so that we're thankful for. It will not take long to list 10 things we're grateful for about our life. And if it does, it will help us get to a better place. But counting our blessings, giving thanks to God, changes our whole world perspective. What do we have to be grateful for? So these are the four ingredients Paul lists about this peace that passes understanding. Do not worry. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And give thanks to God about what he's already doing. And if we'll do all four of those, I think we're going to experience that peace that passes understanding. We're going to be at a different place as we place all those four principles in action. Now, there's something else I need to say with this message that's very important for any of you that are overcome with worries and if your life is in chaos right now. This peace that passes understanding is even more amazing when we are going through a moment of chaos. In fact, it seems like the greater the chaos, the more amazing this peace that passes understanding is. Because when our life is just, it feels out of control, when our life is at one of those places where we feel like so much around us is not what it needs to be, then how in the world can we have peace in such a moment? We have peace because God especially knows we need his peace in those moments. That's what keeps us going, to have those moments of peace when it seems like we would not be at peace. I've been with people as they have been close to dying or dying, and it's amazing that in those moments of death, there are some of the most peaceful moments you could ever experience. And that is that peace that passes understanding. That's the only explanation. I know in the life of children, when they get upset about something and someone can reassure them, that there is a peace that comes. And it's amazing to see a child that is so angry and agitated one minute at complete peace the next. But God offers that gift to us. The greater the chaos, the greater the peace can be. This peace can pass understanding when we least expect it to. And perhaps some of you today, that's what you've been looking for more than anything, peace. Because if you're not at peace, it's hard to be at peace with everybody else. And if you're not at peace with everybody else, it's hard to be at peace with the world. But God gives us this gift of the peace that passes understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One other word is God is with us. There are no circumstances that we can go through where God is not with us. The Apostle Paul says it eloquently that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's absolutely nothing in this world that can keep us from this love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's been trying to get our attention a long time about this issue. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born. And this good news of the birth of Jesus is even described in the Gospels as Emmanuel. God is with us. God became one of us. Jesus became a child so that we would know the way. We would know his presence. We would know his peace. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement and quite a leader, quite a biblical scholar, an amazing man of God, when he was on his deathbed, he could have talked about anything. He could have rambled on about theology. He could have pontificated about what were the greatest moments of his life. But what did he choose to point to just prior to his death? He went back to this message. The best of all is God is with us. Farewell, farewell. The best of all, God is with us. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that you're always with us, that there's nowhere we can go from your presence. We are thankful, too, that we do not have to settle for a life that is not filled with your peace, but we can know your peace. Even in the most anxious moments imaginable, we can know your peace, and we pray for that peace today. Amen.